But I want to just explain something briefly to us again. Of course, remember, it's School of Prayer. And what that means is simply that we are learning some principles that undergird the habit of praying. What I want to say, I was sharing this with my wife a few days ago. I just want to teach today, all right? Then we will take a few confessions. Well, the same one we have been taking again and again. But I just want to explain a particular principle. All right? I was sharing this with my wife a few days ago. And I had the same one I sent out today. By the time you get home, you probably will have seen it. And that's what I want to teach about what God owes you and what God owes me. Are you getting my point? Yes, please, you must bear this in mind. If I title the sermon, How to Receive from God. And what I'm trying to explain in it is a simple principle. It's actually trying to correct a mentality in people. Please understand this very well. You know, you have to learn how things are supposed to be done. You can't just assume that things are this way and they must be that way. God doesn't have your own sense of morality. You get my point? He does not have your sense of morality. God does not do what you think he should do. Like I said, you can't strike a deal with God. There's a discussion my brother and I have been having for some time, the last few days, about 2 days now. Actually, I stimulated it and we've been talking about it. And you know, people say that you make a covenant with God. You've heard that before? Yeah, you make a covenant with God. And we began to reason it. I said, Christians, you can't make a covenant with God. I'm sorry. I know it's very popular in Christian teaching. You cannot make a covenant with God. You can't. It's not possible. Once you become a Christian, you have made a covenant with God. You can be living and breaking the covenant and then decide to, you know, repent and be saved, in quotes now. Okay? But you cannot get up and say, today I want to make a covenant with God. That doesn't make any sense. I know it sounds nice and reasonable. You know, there's one that they say all the time. People say that, have you heard this one before? That prosperity is not a promise. It's a covenant. I don't know whether you heard that before. Prosperity, of course, is a promise. And there are enough scriptures, all right? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Behold, I will cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river. That's a promise, all right? Those are promises, okay? And even the one we quote all the time, that is the Lord thy God that giveth the power to get wealth. It's also a promise. He said that he might confirm the covenant that he swore. It was a promise he made to your fathers. If I have a few translations of the Bible, Message Bible and the God's Word Translation, a number of them, they use the word, the promise he made to your fathers, which is still applicable till today. Do you understand my point? That is, you must learn how God reasons. You must understand that, you see, God doesn't have your own sense of right and wrong. You must learn his own sense of right and wrong. You know, one of the things I say to people is that you have to be careful when you copy Hannah. Not your own Hannah, I mean, the Hannah. You know, when I said that Hannah, I happen to be looking in her direction. So, you know, what are you going to do now? I mean, when you copy Hannah in the Bible, you must be careful when you are copying people like Jephthah. You know, Hannah went and said, and said, God, if you give me a son, I will give him back to you. That is not the New Testament prayer. That is Anna's prayer. Anna, Jesus didn't die for Anna that time. Anna didn't come for a Bible study, and they taught her about praying in the name of Jesus Christ. And then for your information, she spoke out of her desperation, okay? She spoke out of her desperation. Everything you find in the Old Covenant, there is a spiritual principle behind it. Try and learn that principle. Be very careful when you are copying those things expressly in the New Testament. People say, you raise an altar. You know, ask yourself, where did Paul raise any altar? Or Peter raise any altar? Why did you just come copying things recklessly? In New Testament, one sacrifice was made, and that's the end of it. And that's the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That cross is the last altar you'll ever raise in your life. You know what I said?
Yes,
sir. The cross of Jesus is the last altar you are allowed to raise. The problem is that people don't bother to study and learn and understand and subject themselves to the instruction of the word from those that God gave the understanding and the ability to pass it across. They don't. Just think they're preaching just to shout. There's a world of difference between what Babalawos do, what DBS do, and what Christianity is. A world of difference. Before you start turning something into a big hype, just read the Bible. Just read it. Ask yourself, this thing is so important. How come Peter, James, John, they didn't know? Jesus didn't teach this to them. Go and check it. The sacrifices of the Old New Testament that the Bible talks about include things like thanksgiving, all right? Just supporting the ministry, giving to somebody who's ministering. You know, stuff like just basic things like that. That's what it calls sacrifice. So you must be careful. You must be careful when you're copying the Old Testament things. That's the reason I'm saying this. So it's that Hannah went and promised God something. Let me tell something to you. Let me say this, all right? Let me just help you. If you want to fall into sin easily, say amen. If you want to set yourself up to disobey God, say amen. Thank you. I like that quiet. Stop making unnecessary vows. God doesn't want it. You wake up this January, I vow. Don't vow nonsense vow. Listen to me. If you are disobeying God, repent of disobedience. And start obeying the revealed truth. Did you hear what I said?
Yes, sir.
That's all. You know what I'm saying? So people think that when you make a vow, God will be provoked. Listen, you know, Jesus has provoked him enough. All the provocation he needs has been executed in Christ Jesus. All the provocation he needs has been executed in Christ Jesus. You cannot do anything special now, apart from repent of disobedience. That's the major thing. Repentance from disobedience. I hope you are clear.
Yes, sir.
Please, I hope you are following me.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. There's a reason why I'm telling you this. That's what I want to teach about, all right? We do all of those things because we think that we have this way by which we can, like we say, provoke God. He's currently docile. We need to give him a jolt of electricity to wake up and respond on your behalf. He that watches over Israel neither sleeps nor slumbers. Doesn't need any special provocation. I hope you're getting what I'm saying. Don't worry. I know I don't say what everybody says. My preaching is often off the popular. I know. I'm aware of it. You don't even need to tell me. Your offering does not provoke God. It only provokes you to think you have done something. I like to say my own all the time. Giving, offering, is a normal life of a Christian. Don't think God will get home and say, guys, I'm provoked right now. Angela gave an offering today, I can't sleep. No, it doesn't work like that. Why am I saying all of these things? There's an attitude and mentality in Christians that they think that when they do something, God is kind of obligated to do back for them. And I have to teach on this again because, you know, this has just been my mind for the last few days. Because you have to wipe it away from the minds of people. They go into prayer unconsciously, they feel more righteous than normal because they have done something. Let's say you came today now to Kingdom World with a... See, January is ending now. He took your half of your January salary. Say, God, this word must be preached. You drop him for offering. Praise God. And we are happy. Amen?
Amen?
Yes, we are happy. We are very happy. There's no pastor that's not happy to get such things. This is the problem. Some people now get back home. When they want to pray, they feel confident to pray. I don't know what I get my point.
Yes.
And kneel down. Father God, I thank you. You were there as I was dropping the offering. This year is my year of salvation. What you are saying is that now that I have settled you, you will settle me. I have made a covenant with you that when I settle you, you will settle me. Please, let me beg you one more time. It's not Christianity. Did you hear what I said?
Yes,
did you hear what I said?
Yes,
it is what? Not Christianity. The only thing, that's my teaching for today, that God owes you. You read in that my sermon when you do get it. The only thing that God owes you is a fulfillment of his promise which he made to you. And the only thing that, in quote, provokes him is when you wake up from your slumber, rise up in faith, and take hold of that promise. That's all. That is the beginning and the end of it. I want Christians, you see, I want you to enter into the fiber of your being. My prayer is that you get to a point you won't even remember you did any good deed. I don't know what I get what I say.
Yes,
you will do it normally, naturally. I've heard statements. I have been taking care of other people's children. God will take care of my own. That is unrighteousness. You can die and go to hell for that. And not literally like that, Shabbat. But you have committed more sin than somebody who told a lie. It's called self-righteousness. The Bible says it's like filthy, dirty rags in his sight. Christians make that statement again and again. They have this unconscious, you know, entitlement mentality. I've been there preaching for God, working for him, giving, doing everything. No, God will do something for me, but hear my words again today. It's the word of God. He is not thereby compelled to do anything for you. I've heard preachers say it. I listen, I just shake my head. I say, oh God, this is not Christianity. You are still mixing it with a bit of Judaism and common sense. Common sense is that once you've done for him, haba, he will do for you. I said to you before, Moses, go and listen to that message, the survival and the death of Moses. Moses left everything to go and work for God. On the way, God encountered him, and the Bible says he sought to kill him. And Zipporah woke up and realized what was going on. And she quickly did the thing that saved the life of Moses, which was to circumcise her son. And listen to this. Many people have died at that point, and we thought it was the devil that killed them. What does God owe you? That's what I want to drum into our hearts again. God owes you only one thing. It is the fulfillment of the promise that he made to you, which is recorded in the scriptures. If he put an if to it, that if you will do this, I will do this, fine. Then it is that promise you can now claim. But to think that you be, on the basis of your works, you will get something out of his hand, please listen to me, you are begging for disappointment. The reason, listen, this is very important. The reason why God will give to you, the reason why he has been provoked to give to you is because Jesus did all the provocation necessary. The Bible says to us clearly that all the promises of God in him, they are confirmed. They are yes and they are amen in Christ Jesus. And the only thing that God owes you and me is to fulfill that which he has promised. Did you hear what I said?
Yes.
This is very important too. Christians are misguided every day. We preachers, we misguide. Well, a lot of us don't know. We don't know. That is why. And I pray that more preachers will learn the truth. In the Old Testament, you know, you see a lot of examples in the Old Covenant. People now quote it and say that Abraham sacrificed this and then God did this for him. Let me tell you, every sacrifice that counts before God now is the one that Jesus did on the cross. So if Abraham sacrificed something and God did something in return, what that tells you is that now that Jesus has sacrificed on my behalf, you do God like this. Okay? Settle. I don't know whether I get my point. Isa, please settle. Because we found out that when a sacrifice goes up like this, blessing comes down this way. Since our own sacrifice have gone up already, hey, sir, where is the blessing? Then we make our claim based. You see, that's what it means to pray in the name of Jesus. That's why, what you see, let me tell you something. Oh, Father God. I'll say this because some people will believe it. Some will say, are you serious? But it is the truth. Your fasting does not move God one bit when it comes to answering prayer. Your hunger is your personal problem. Your hunger is what? Your personal problem. In the midst of your hunger, you cannot discover the word to lay claim on and demand the fulfillment of. Bros, you've just saved money and lost some weight. It's good. Listen, I have to destroy from your mind this walk of flesh to get something out of God mentality. You say, people say, if you fast for, maybe. Now, I've heard this before. Literally, churches will gather and say, if you fast for 5 days, God will bless you to this level. If you're able to join the fast for 10 days, the blessing goes to this level. And then it goes for 20 days, you don't break out. You two, you have done it now. I don't need to remind you of your disappointment at the end of the day. The guy who was busy in doing his business with clear eyes, he made more money during, in that interval than you were doing your business with hunger. Do you know why? Because hunger does not add the smallest jot to the potency of your prayer. It does not. Let me say this to you clear. Listen, a hungry man, that is a fasted, you know, man who say I'm fasting, and the one that has eaten, in the presence of God, the power of their prayer is the same. Some of us have not left, you know, the traditions of our youth, the bad habits they used to bring us up in church, is still inside our hearts, self-righteousness. Say, Pastor Bang, are you saying we shouldn't fast? Did I say so? I just find another motive for it. That's all I said. Okay, for those who are, maybe this is the first time they are listening to me, let me clear that something. Do Christians fast? Yes. A number of points. Hunger and fasting are two totally different things. All right? Hunger is you have not eaten. Fasting is you are concentrating on spiritual things. You are waiting on God. Are you getting my point? Let me quickly give you, for those who are hearing for the first time. For example, now, I was late today because I'm coming from work. I work in the hospital. So when I went to the office on time because I had to attend a meeting. From that meeting, it took a very long time. I went to another meeting. From that other meeting, there was a patient I promised I would get something ready for. By tomorrow, I said, please. The woman was waiting. I'm a laboratory physician, so patients come to us for results. So I said, please. There was an issue with it. I had to help some of my colleagues solve some issues about it. So the nurse said, okay, the woman should come and see me. I said, okay, come on, madam, please, this is the issue. You either wait till 4 p.m., which I'm happy she did not, all right? Or you come back tomorrow. She said she will come back the following day. For that reason, I left the meeting I was attending, and tomorrow I have to give lectures. So I will not go to the hospital campus tomorrow. I'll go to give my lectures in the university. So I said, all right. I told my colleagues, I may not come this way tomorrow. But I promised this woman I will personally handle this. And because of the way it was, my colleagues needed my own attention on it. So, I left that meeting. I went back to the office with one of my other consultants and a few of the younger doctors. And we settled down on that woman's case. All right? In fact, the last thing I did as I left was, I gave instruction for one other, my senior registrar, that when he comes, he had left, that you tell him tomorrow to do this and this on this particular matter and sign for me. So the other guy just said, sir, please, I need your signature so that he will know that you actually wrote this. So the last thing I did was to append my signature to something, and I ran into my car, and for the first time in months, if you see my speeding today, just to get here, on that road, I'm not even running again. You know, just my way to work every day. Just to get here, I was speeding like crazy. Thank God it's not by America. Police, but don't pull me over. Now, you know why I said all of these things? If throughout this period, I didn't eat, and I get here, and suddenly I'm fasting, I'm lying. I don't know whether I get my point. I left my house in the morning, went straight for a meeting. Inside that meeting, I would do some work on the side, do this. Then went for another long meeting, dragged back to the office, got some other work done, then ran down here. Good enough. What I'm teaching you today, I'd made up my mind by Saturday, I will preach it. And I'd be writing on it, so it's very, very fresh in my mind. I will be deceiving you if I say, because I've not eaten since morning, I'm fasting. It's a lie. I will serve God and myself and you and everybody better if I have something. In fact, before I left the office, I knew that when I get here, I will start talking. I called one woman, please get me the biggest bottle of Coke that you have. She came up with a small one. I said, madam, I need a bigger one. This is the only one that's available. I quickly drank it because I knew that once I get here, talking will start. Now, what is a Christian fast? A Christian fast is time you take out to concentrate on spiritual things. Like, today now I was at work the whole day. Let me just make it simple. In what a Christian fast is supposed to be, I didn't do that. If I wanted to do it, I should have taken a small leave, stayed at home. On Saturday, I said, I'm not going anywhere. I will not entertain you as a visitor for more than 5 minutes. Because I don't have time to talk. And unless you came to share the word, not to ask me for counsel, that is, you came and said, sir, as I was meditating, praise God, the Holy Spirit began to speak to my soul, and I came. Are you getting my point? And we are engaged in word matter. We share, we join hands, we pray. That is a Christian fast. I have something on my mind. I need to get clarity. So I take time out maybe when everybody has gone to sleep. Maybe I sleep early, wake up so that I can wake up during the night. And I stay up and I have a book. I'm reading to a message, or I'm meditating, or I'm praying. Listen to me, I'll say it to you fast. It has nothing to do with whether I have eaten or not. Except, of course, there's some common sense things about life. So I want to go and meditate. Sweetheart, tell my wife, I'm going to meditate. Where? I'll be in the study upstairs. She said, all right. Anything? Say yes. While I'm meditating, get me a fat plate of pounded yam, plenty of meat. And I like fresh fish. Bring it upstairs. And tell, while you are getting that ready, please tell Akinlu to bring me a big bottle of, wine. Bros, when you finish that,
praise, hallelujah.
Come on, don't fool yourself. Are you getting my point? That is, the food is now a distraction from my concentrating on spiritual things. And I say this to Christians, even though very few people are able to stomach it. And let me say it clearly so that you can get used to hearing it from my mouth. For those who haven't heard it before. If you say, okay, I want to wait on the Lord, today I am fasting and praying, I just want to wait on God. And you enter your study, like I have a study in my house, you shut everybody out, and you begin to pray. After a while, your stomach goes, and you continue praying. It starts aching small. Continue praying. This hunger is a distraction. There are two ways to handle it. I'll tell you the godly way and the Christian way. That means the modern-day Christian way. That's what I'm saying. The what Christians will do, the Pentecostal way. The Pentecostal way normally is this. In the name of Jesus, Satan, you will not distract me. I rebuke you. I rebuke this stomach. Come on, come on. Go down, go down. And after a few days, you will get used to it, and the stomach may leave you alone. But it's a godly way to do it. If you're married like me, just come out. Sweetheart, please, can you give me a slice of bread and a glass of milk? I'm in the study. Or a glass of juice. And then after a while, she comes, gives it to you. Thank you very much. So this Satan is going away, either by casting or by this glass of bread. The godly way, take it from me. I won't lie to you. He's like, chew that slice of bread, drink that whole glass of juice or water. Water is okay, anyone you like. And then that leaves me alone, and I continue. I will not waste time rebuking the devil because it's not a devil. It's called normal physiology. He said, I put my body on under. When Paul said, I was talking about iniquity and disobedience to the word of God. Are you getting my point? It's not about, people say, you have to put your body under. What's putting your body under? You have to tell your body you won't eat. I'm not a Buddhist. You must understand that Buddhism and Christianity are two different religions. I'm not an ascetic. Ascetic? Or asceticismist? Very funny. I'm a Christian. I put my body under in obeying the word of God and refusing the sinful desires of the flesh. In refusing the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust for other things. I like the fact that Daniel told us clearly that when he went on a 21 days fast, he did not eat any decent food. And what that means simply is, people tell me, one day, let me just tell you something, it will make you, okay, my mother, right, but it happens to all of us, but I remember that particular situation. My mother went for a function, I think a wedding or something, and they started serving drinks. So, they said that a bottle of malt, she told, this was language, I just remembered it now, to let you know what is Christianity and what is not. And they gave her a bottle of malt, they had opened it, and she put it to her mouth, and then she suddenly remembered that she's on a fast, and she dropped it, and apologized, and they didn't take the drink, and left it there. And without telling me at home that, I actually forgot that we're on a fast, for a moment. And I want to tell you today, you are at a function, social function. I don't know whether I get my point. Social function. Social function. You have not broken a fast. It is a bottle of the 33 cl of a malted drink that is the breaking of a fast. That is what we Christians do, and it's actually not Christianity. Please, I hope you are getting me. Listen, you know why I say all of these things? What makes God answer prayers is what I'm trying to talk about. The only thing God owes you is what? The fulfillment of the promise he made to you. Why should Christians fast? I'll tell you. It is to discover that which they did not know. It is to be able to focus on the word of God so that God can minister things to them that they were not aware of before. It is to help them become clear concerning spiritual things. Therefore, if I went to work the whole of today, I tell you I'm fasting purely because I did not eat. It's not true. It's a lie. I'm just deceiving myself and you. My colleagues that ate while we're at work, they are just as good as me. In fact, I would have been a better faster. Are you getting my point? If I left them and said, please, let me go and take a meal. And I used that period, 15 minutes break, lunch break, enter into my office, close the door, because I want to eat in my office. I locked the door from inside for privacy's sake. And while eating something, I said, good. Now I've stopped all the discussion on medicine, on pathology, on administration. Let me, while taking this small plate of lunch, let me now think, okay, yes, I've been thinking about this. Yes, the word of God says this, and I'm eating and I'm doing that. That is a better fast than if I sit down in that meeting, talking and talking and talking and talking, and giving instructions and attending to patients and doing this and this and this, and but I refuse to eat, and I say that I am fasting. Do you get my point? The Bible says, as a minister to God and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, what were they saying? I listened to Kenneth Hagin. I think we have the message somewhere around here on the ministering to God series. He says that what happened was that they were ministering to the Lord, and the time to eat came. They did not break to go and eat. He wasn't saying that they refused breakfast. I said, today we must hear from heaven. No. They went into a meeting session. Whether they ate before or not was besides the point. But the time to break to go and take a meal came. And they said, no, we cannot abandon what we are doing because we want to go and eat. Are you getting my point? And when you are in the presence of God, no, it's a very, very good, in fact, very good example. Maybe we are teaching the word here. We are teaching. And you're being blessed. I finish, somebody else comes to minister. Somebody ministers in song. Somebody else comes to teach. And then somebody now starts telling you that, oh boy, let's go and eat. You now say, let's go and eat? I don't know what I get my point.
Yes.
Let's go and eat? Can't you see what is going on? Abeni hunger had better way to. Do you get the logic?
Yes,
I'm trying to get it in perspective. It is not about food. Please, are you getting me? Or lack of it. It is about concentrating on something superior to all of these things. I'm emphasizing the grounds upon which God answers your prayers. Why did I say all of this? There are Christians who feel, I have fasted for 1 week, God will answer. Hear me. He's not obligated because he fasted for a week. By the end of the week, the same ignorance in your soul is still there. The same lack of repentance concerning certain things is still there. And you think on the grounds of the fact that you have pummeled yourself with punishment for 1 week, you will now, God will not listen to you. That is not Christianity. It is possible. I'm not saying this doesn't happen. It is possible that you start seeing spirits. Yeah, because I've read testimonies of those who said they were in the occult. One of the ways they get to break into those things is to go on a long fast. There are those that finish fasting. They say that then they began, they started seeing spirits. And when I hear that, that this Holy Spirit began to speak to them, and the angels of God began to do this, I get scared. Because I know for sure, hunger is a potent hallucinator. You know the kind of hallucinator? When your blood sugar is too low, you start seeing things. You think you're in the realm of the spirit. You're in the realm of the remains moment may you die. You think get my point. You don't earn entry into heaven's gates because of hunger. You don't earn entry into heaven's gates because of something you denied yourself, which is not by itself sinful. And whether you are trying to pray or not, if it is sinful, it is sinful. I hope you are getting my point.
Yes, sir.
You know, there was one joke we used to crack those days. Some reverend sisters trying to encourage young children to be very nice and godly during Lent. They say to them that, you see, fasting is not only about food. You can decide that during this Lent, you will fast lying. And we used to wonder, okay, after the Lent, we recommence. But we look back now, they were trying to help young people to practice that you can live without telling lies. I don't think they wanted you to go back to lying. They were just trying to encourage you that this is a good time to start a godly practice. I think so. Because they used to wonder like, okay, they don't fast, finish. After Lent, we start telling lies. No, that's not what they meant. I guess you were just trying to say it's a good time to practice. What I'm going to say is this. If something is wrong, it is wrong. The moment you discover it is wrong, you fast it the rest of your life. And again, that is not, you won't come and say, God, Father, thank you. Yeah, good God. You know, I just want to come to tell you that I've stopped lying, so can I have my car now? I don't know what I hear to say. Say, Lord, I've stopped telling lies, so now you will break through upon me with a car. I say, okay, go and tell lies. Let's see who will die first. Whether it is me or it is you. This is your lack of lies for your own sake, not for me. You have not impressed me with it. I don't owe you anything because now I don't sin anymore. Do you know, I came today to tell you why God answers prayers. And some things we do that doesn't make him answer. We just think so. Some people say, God, Father, you know, I'm not telling lies again. I've stopped all these things. So, now listen to me. For that reason, now, this is something I want to ask you for. So God says to you, through me today, I'm not going to do it so you can go back to your life of sin. When we stop walking in unrighteousness, you know why we stop? Because we are not pigs. We don't return back into the dirt from which we were washed. We are not dogs. We don't return back to our vomit. Some things are just not in order. This is the point I'm making. We don't commit sin. We don't walk in unrighteousness because it's not our nature. Do you get my point?
Yes.
We are not trying to use to earn something from God. No. Again, let me say this again, because we need to say this and the people believe them. You gave an offering, you gave a tithe, you sowed a seed, you gave a vow. It's January now, you want to pay first fruit. None of it gets you anything with God. Nothing. Do you hear what I said? What does it get?
Nothing.
Answer me like you believe me.
Nothing.
So when I do this one, you rebuke the devourer. The blood of Jesus rebukes the devourer. Anything the blood just cannot rebuke. Oh boy, nothing can rebuke. If you like, cut your leg, give it to God, cut your head. It will not be rebuked. You start quoting scriptures that the Bible says, let me quickly open to it. Oh no, but I open it to it. Is there anyone who has entered into his rest has ceased from his own works? To try and enter into certain realms, in the realm of that's in spiritual things, you have to do some works. And now listen to me carefully. That's what a lot of people get hung up on. So they read the stories of men who did some works. Jephthah came and he vowed to God. You know, be careful how you vow. Be careful how you vow. And so Jephthah vowed, God, and if you God do this wrong for me, when I come back, the first thing to person, anything that comes to greet me, say sacrifice unto you. God said, okay, you want to kill somebody else. You think you are hoping it's one of your slaves. I'll show you pepper today. His only child, a girl who he loved with all his heart, decided that let's go and welcome daddy. He's coming back from war front. Now he gathered her friends, begin dance. In papa show face, papa tear cloth. Hey, ma. And if the girl is wondering, daddy, what's going on? I just came to greet you. He said, you've killed me. In case you do not know, that man sacrificed that girl to God. Just like it's not written in black and white like that in the scriptures. They had to kill that girl. I'm sure after that, nobody grieved about anything again. No? So God, if you do this for us, we will go shout hallelujah. You know, I was thinking about it. I'm not sure say David get time for that kind of vow. Go and read David. David gets sense. Well. David's only said, shall I pursue? I shall not pursue. Will you give them to my hand? Or you will not give them? God said, I will give. He said, thank you. You know, David, all these vowing things, for those who don't understand God enough, David said, hey, I don't get time. You go vow, risky vow. Just watch it. Ain't vowing anything. When David wants to vow, he vows the lives of his enemies. Vow your own personality. It's risky. No, people, Christians, you can't be copying things that you're putting in trouble. See, Anna said, if you give me this child, I will give him to you. See, as it is right now, all the children I have, Father, they are yours. Yes, all of them will serve you. They will do your will. All of them will serve God. The anointing of God is on their heads by force. I'm not tying it to anything. God, anything you do for me according to the scriptures, I will thank you very well. I will acknowledge you before my brethren. That's all. Let me tell you straight. The only vow, two vows Christians are supposed to vow. One, you must vow to God to obey him every time. Whether you want anything or not, when you wake up in the Father God, I just vow. In fact, I have a dangerous vow for you today. I will obey you in the name of Jesus. Fill me with the spirit of obedience. Give me power to obey you. The second vow, very crucial. Lord, anything you do for me, I will give only you the praise. I won't give any human being the praise. Upon these two vows lie all the answers. I'm telling people, say, God, if you do this for me, I will do this for you. Because you don't understand something. I'm not in need of anything. You do something for me, don't do it for me, really. What's the big deal? I don't need anything. So you can go. The deal doesn't work for me. The deal not favor me at all. What am I saying? All these things we try to do to help God bless us, to help God release things for us, they are unnecessary. The Bible says that anyone who enters his rest has ceased from all those efforts. How do you enter into the rest? It's by faith in Christ Jesus. You know why? Jesus has vowed all the vows. Amen?
Amen.
He has given all his offerings. He did not vow his first daughter. He vowed himself. He has been killed for you. Are you getting what I'm saying? The reason why God gives you something is because Jesus has already paid for it. You and I do not do anything to get anything anymore. We don't brag on our lives of righteousness. Say, God, you know, say, I've always been telling the truth. Even if you've been telling a lie, you will still be blessed as long as you are repentant. I don't know whether I get my point. No, the way God does it, if you don't understand him well, it's very annoying. You have been very righteous all your life. All your life. Very righteous. You were born in righteousness. You were raised up in holiness. Baptized in purity. Committed to heavenly things. You are 30 years old. And you see one wicked soul. Wicked soul, you know. His mother, na harlot, in a jaguda, small boy. As his little boy, they used to break homes. He grew up, entered school, joined confra, gave his life to Christ at the age of 29. You are 30. He's 30. Two of you pray. You know, you have a serious problem. You know the problem you have? Hey God, it's temptation. Christian temptation is different too. Christian temptation is like this. You're looking at the guy, he's praying on the other side. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. What you're saying, at least I don't have all these sins to obstruct my prayer today. And you don't realize that it's your type they've talked about in the Bible. Jesus talked about it. You know, because you're a Christian, you won't mention anybody's name. You're just thinking it. I claim it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You're there praying. What you don't realize that you are saying that God, at least thank you. I'm a good guy. Look at this guy. Well, that one just comes, see? Now, wow. God, you know if you don't bless me, man, don't die. God say, I know. So please, for the sake of your son, Jesus Christ, you know me, I have nothing to offer. And God say, wow, yo, this is good. Then God just pours abundant of blessing. God, I pray 1 minute, he collects everything, good wife, good job, breakthrough, business, open ministry, explode. You won't say anything new because you've gone to church. Father, in the name of Jesus, why? This is my... God said, you want to know why? I will tell you the why. All of these things that were gained, you had better count them as dung. You had better show up and say, God, see that guy and me, we are the same. We have come with only one parameter for approach. It's called the blood of Jesus. Whatever he deserves, I deserve. Whatever I deserve, he deserves. Because in Christ we are the same. Because you cannot behold any iniquity in Jacob. You are sure this is a Jacob. Both of us are seen purely through the power of the blood of Jesus. So, when we are going, look, I don't feel superior to him. No. I don't understand the reason he's like the way he was. But one thing I thank you for is that both of us can now approach you with purity. Purity attained by the washing of the blood of Jesus. We're approaching, we kneel down, we pray, we collect everything. We don't approach and say, you know, I've been good. Christianity is not a joke. The interesting thing about Christianity is that where he puts his demands, most people don't realize it. That's where Christianity puts its demands. For you to be able to accept that Jesus actually can wash people. It's easy for you to accept that he can wash you. You know that? But the test of your faith is that you think he can wash somebody else. One of the things I would like to preach if I'm preaching in America is to tell Americans, if Osama bin Laden gave his life to Christ, the day before they shot him, he's in heaven waiting for you. Americans won't agree, but it's a matter of fact. If an angel came to him and said, we have seen your zeal for things that are good, because you don't know why he's doing what he's doing, you think he's wicked. I like one thing some men said, they say, one man's terrorist, another man's freedom fighter. After all, the first prime minister of Israel was a terrorist. Listen, they blew the British out of that place. You think, you see Al-Qaeda blowing hotels? Who started blowing hotels? Jewish nationalists. They will blow a hotel that contains foreign nationals. What you see Al-Qaeda doing now, the first guys to do it in modern times are the Jews. But they got what they wanted. The head of the terrorist unit became prime minister. So maybe one angel showed up and said, Bros Osama, you have done the work of God to level Babylon the Great. But you cannot enter heaven like this. So I hope you have believed in the Son of God. Who is it that I might believe? As Jesus, the one that you persecuted some time ago. Oh, my Lord and my God, I am sorry. He said, don't worry, I forgive you. Next day, he said, don't worry, there's nothing for you to do more on the earth. Some American seals getting that, kick down the door. Where is he? Two. They don't know they are doing the will of God. The man has gone to heaven. Sounds funny? I would be the least surprised human being when we get to heaven. And I said, I recognize his behavior. He said, Nami Osama. He said, Osama, what are you doing here? You too, what are you doing here? The same blood that brought you here, you think you can't bring me here too? Come on, hug me before they send you to hellfire. I said, come on. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. What is the point I'm making? You and I have no approach to God outside the blood of Jesus. The only thing that God owes you and owes me is the confirmation of his word. Listen, he didn't come here to reward your life of righteousness. He came here to reward your faith in Christ Jesus. And that's why Paul said, hearing is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. In case you do not know, the meaning of the word righteousness is God's right to answer your prayer. That's one meaning. The thing that God will see in you, he will, that will make him listen to you without becoming one listening to a sinner. Do you get the point? Righteousness is the stamp of approval, the thing that makes you able to approach the throne of God. That's what righteousness is. And Paul said, hearing is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. That is, it begins with faith and it ends with faith. Listen to me. The only thing God owes you is to confirm his word in your life. That's all. If he has promised something, you demand the fulfillment of it. Because in Christ Jesus, that thing is legitimately yours. Did you hear what I said? Like I said to you earlier, people say, before you can claim prosperity, you will give to God. I come to teach you the word of God. He was rich, yet for your sake, he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be made rich. You want to prosper? Read that scripture, kneel down and say, Lord, this is what the word of God says. I receive it in the name of Jesus. That's all. Say, you mean even if I don't give? Yes, even if you don't give. Yes, I said it, I'm not qualifying it, I won't say further. See, I have a strong temptation to say further, but I won't fall for it. No, I'm not going to say more than that. Christians need to learn the truth. Pastor Banks said we shouldn't give. God has never promised me prosperity for feeding my children. Have you noticed that? But do I feed them? Why? They are my responsibility. And I love them, like Pastor Paul will say, to pieces. Do you know, it moves me to tears sometimes to sit down and watch like these farming children and all of that. And for half a second, I just imagine myself in a tent with these my children. And they say to me, "Daddy, we are hungry and have nothing to give them." Do you know, I almost start crying in my bedroom. And I'm not a refugee. I'm not in a tent. You know, just watch things. Just for half a second, it just crosses my mind and say, you know, I would not think of my victory. Who was thin before? You know, if I can do now, hunger, 2 weeks, he will survive. What's the thing of my victory? I'm hungry and there's no food. I will break down. But I will pray the kind of prayer that goes, okay, resume delivery of manna. So that thing we suspended, then start again. Wake up in the morning, you will find something like coriander seeds around the tent. We'll gather it. Say, what is this? That is the name. What is it? Manna. For that reason, if I have that kind of compassion for them, why won't I give to them? And that's all God, listen, let me tell you the truth. Listen, oh God, you are hearing this from somewhere. The reason why you clicked on this message to play today is for this reason, to let you know that every seed you have sown all your life towards your prosperity has been a waste of money. It has been seeds of unrighteousness, seeds of selfishness. And God said, I'm not going to prosper for that reason. If I cannot prosper, why Jesus? Because Jesus died on the cross. Why will I prosper because of your dirty money? You want to prosper? God said, I should tell you, this is the word of prosperity. Behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. Believe it, and that's all. Believe it, and that is all. He said, what about giving? Giving is your life if you're a Christian. How can you love the word of God and not want it to prosper? A man wrote us a mail once. That how can I be preaching this kind of thing? In my mind, that why is he paying you? Why are you afraid? Because you know, human beings, they don't want to believe they have made a mistake. I'll say to you straight, I don't care who told you otherwise. Your money you gave did not guarantee you prosperity. If the blood of Jesus can't guarantee it for you, your offerings can't. That is why you have sweated in giving the last 10 years. You've gotten next to nothing. You say, but listen, the unbeliever that walk as hard as you is as rich as you. What's your problem? Why are you lying? Why are you lying? You know. The guy stole, and in his stealing, he has more than you. You think he should die. He won't die. God has raised him up as a stumbling stone for you until you repent of your selfishness and insult on the blood of Jesus. God said, I should tell you straight words. People, the only reason I will bless you is because Jesus Christ guaranteed it. The offering can't guarantee it. It can't. Pastor Banker, you say we shouldn't give. That is a problem. If you can interpret this as it means we should not give, you see, you are a sinner. Because the only thing you reason you have been given is because of what you will get. How closer to the devil can a normal Christian get than that? That you won't do anything except you are going to get something out of it. Anybody who hears this and his reaction is that now I don't have to give, it shows you are selfish. The other day, somebody sent me a message and said, that gift you sent to me, this was the need it met. And the person said, my God will meet your need at such critical times like this. Now, listen, I thank God for the prayer. I received the prayer. Are you getting my point? But I told my wife, I said, this is good. What I'm saying, this is good is that, you know, I felt good because get my point. It's like you want to pay house rent. Let's take as an example, all right? And I didn't know about it. I just said, this man of God, it's been a while, though. I've not heard from him. So I said, let me send him an offering. And I send him an offering. And as he's getting it, is the day he's just pacing up and down and saying, Father God, you will not disappoint me. And the person writes back and says, that your offering, though, it was the day I needed to pay rent, it arrived. Listen, Paul said there are things that cause thanksgiving. He said your gift has caused thanksgiving to rise up to God. That's what you need. I said to my wife, this is good. That's why it's good to do good things. I wasn't even thinking of what I would get. No, God sees my heart. The first time I've been thinking about it, is this something attached to it? It's now that I'm talking to you about it. I never thought about it. But I will do that again when I got that testimony. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm trying to say.
Yes,
a friend of mine again told me something like that once. I was just thinking about him. I was broke. No money, no serious money. So it was very embarrassing. This was before the days of GSM. That I went and paid 3,000 naira into his account. How much did I tell you? 3,000 naira. 3,000. I felt bad, like, oh boy. This was some years ago. Maybe like, yes, I said before the days of GSM. So you can imagine. I think maybe GSM had hit Lagos, but it had not reached Enugu. But it was just getting. So it was like around 2000, 2001. So this was around 2001, actually. Yeah, 2001, 2002. Yes, 2001, 2002. I remember around that period. So that day, I was just uncomfortable. Say, how this guy did day, how did. So I just went, paid 3,000. I remember 3,000. And then I went and got a payphone, all right, and called him where I could reach him. Because there was no alert, all those kind of things. I said, how now? I just want to tell you that I just paid some money to your account, but it's very small, it's very, very small. It's very, very small, please. I was full of apologies, so that it's just 3,000. I said, okay, thank you, God bless you, and all of that. And he hung up. Later on, I saw him. He said that day, when he left his house in the morning, his wife just reminded him that there was nothing in the house, and he said, no problem. And he went to the office, and he sat down. And he was like, my God, I can't go back home. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. I can't just go back home to see where I came out. And that's why the Holy Spirit just kicked me somewhere. Boy, you can't be at ease. So I was rolling around. I was not at ease. I checked. This was all the money I had. I didn't know I was answering the call of the Holy Spirit that somebody was praying somewhere away. So that day when my call got through to him, and somebody said that somebody wants to talk to you. Okay. He just greeted me, thanked me, and prayed for me. And then as he dropped the phone, I don't have to tell you where he walked straight to. He walked straight to that bank. And withdrew that money. Whether you promise me a reward or not, that's all the reward I need. The knowledge of the fact that God used me to meet somebody's need. Do you understand my point?
Yes, sir.
So anybody who's responding to, it is not your giving that makes you prosper. That means I won't give in. Please stop giving. Your money has never been a blessing to anybody. You have been selfish. Very selfish. And God was not even going planning to reward you anyway. You see, I'm your deliverance. So you don't know. This message I'm preaching is to God. Say, God, stop, because don't stop wasting your money. And let me tell you something. We keep on quoting this scripture. The year that the locust ate, the palmer worm, the canker worm, and this, I will restore double to you. Let me tell you your own locust, your canker worm, your palmer worm is wrong doctrine. Did you hear what I said? What did I call it? So this is the word of God. The years in which you were practicing wrong doctrine, I will restore double to you.
Amen.
That is, if you repent and start doing what is right, all the offerings you have given before, I will convert it through one spiritual machination and bring a blessing into your life. In fact, that you are hearing this message, the first step of blessing.
Amen.
Yes? Because if somebody is walking wrongly, the first thing God does to you as a sign of his blessing is to give you correction. God does not bless seeds that were sown because somebody wants to get prosperity. Because you are by that reducing the quality of the blood of Jesus Christ. Why should he bless it? I hope you're getting my point. Listen, the greatest gift, what brought you prosperity? I need to drum that one into every modern day Christian. They are confused. I need to drum it into their heads. What brought you prosperity is the blood of Jesus. What did I say? What bought me? Say, what bought me? That is buying. What brought you prosperity is the precious blood of Jesus. Do you get what I'm saying? Please stop carrying those your dirty checkbooks to prayer rooms. Lord, look at it. Look at my offering. My offering will speak for me. The only offering that is speaking for you is the blood of Jesus. He said, what about Cornelius? He was not born again. He didn't know Jesus. He was pitied. They pity him. They said, your alms, your offerings. It has risen to God. And God said, it can't save him. Go and tell him the way of salvation. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. You say, Pastor Banky, but he went to God. Yes, and God examined it and said, it won't work. Go and tell him the way of salvation. That is, with all the work Cornelius was doing, an angel came to him and said, oh boy, this will not get you anywhere. But we have seen by all of this that you really, really want to get close to God. Now we are going to send you, are going to send for a man who will teach you the way of salvation. Let me tell you the gospel that Peter came and preached to him. He said to him simply, all your works won't get you anywhere. But somebody has paid everything. You don't need to labor to get there anymore. Just receive it. As they were hearing that word, God poured the Holy Spirit upon the household of Cornelius. They had not done anything since from that moment. I told you, Paul Ginadu, how did he give his life to Christ? Paul Ginadu found that the true God was, that Jesus was the true Son of God. But he still believed that it was the same God that was called Allah. Are you getting my point? So he said, well, since my people said that, since I have not prayed for 5 years, for the next 5 years to pay my debt, I have to pray 10 times a day. So since Jesus said I don't have to pray, that he has prayed all the prayer for me, now the guy quickly give me life to Christ too. The man got the revelation. He got the revelation. So many of us don't realize this. Somebody is still telling you that you need to come and pay the sins of your ancestor. You will sow a seed now to wipe away the sins of the ancestor. You should give yourself a knock. And then go and warn the man. Say, oh, God, if you talk that kind of thing again, wala go boss for sure, sure. How can you tell me to pay something to wipe away the sin of the ancestors? What happened to the blood of Jesus? Somebody embezzled him? Nobody embezzled. Is he there working? Is he there working? And he's wiping away the sins of the ancestors. He's wiping them away. He not only wiped them away, he's still wiping them away. The moment you give your life to Christ, your ancestral problems have been wiped away. Amen. You know what I said? They have been wiped away. They have been wiped away. Listen, let me fall for that small temptation about money again. I said I didn't want to say further. Christians are givers. And look, if you're a pastor, teach your people this. You will see more offering than when you were threatening them with devourer and poverty. Devourer and poverty do not have the persuasive power of the Holy Spirit. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes,
if people know the truth, if they know the truth, if they know the truth will set them free to give. One of the reasons why people protest, all right, concerning what I say, is simple. They think that people have told me like that to my face. I mean, first discussion I had with somebody like this was 1990. I was still in school. A friend of mine was discussing this matter. He said, if you don't tithe, you will not prosper. I said, bros, come here. We both learn this gospel of grace. What are you talking about? That day I explained this. He now said to me, he said, if Christians are supposed to do what you are saying, where will the church get money from? I said to him simply, I will not answer that because that's not the point. The point is it the truth? I don't know where I get the point. I said, where they will get money from is besides the point. The point is what? Is it the truth? Let's tell ourselves the truth. If it is the truth, then we will not discuss money matters after. Christians are what? Givers. Christians are what? Givers. The spirit of Christ in them makes them more generous than any Jew that ever lived. Christians are givers. Look, this is what I say. Any Christian that is not a generous giver is one of two things. Either he never truly believe, or he never know nothing. You understand my point? Doesn't know anything yet. Does not realize. You know, you can have a kind of spirit and not know. Yes, it is possible. Jesus said to the disciples, you don't know the kind of spirit that you have. Christians are givers. They don't give to get. They don't approach God making a demand that, you see, I have given, now you will give to me. No. They don't even remember to utter such things in prayer. They do their duty to God and they make their request as children of God, approaching unto his throne with boldness. They are bold. They are bold. The blood of Jesus makes them bold. Their sin cannot stand between them and God. It's been wiped away by the blood of Jesus. That gives them confidence. It gives them confidence. And based on that confidence, they pray. That is what it means to pray in the name of Jesus. It's not just to shout the name. It's what you have in mind when you are praying. If you pray in the name of Jesus, you are saying simply that the reason why I'm going to be heard is because of Jesus Christ. Listen, one thing I thank God for, I was reading about it. This message I'm preaching magnifies something, and that's the name of Christ. What this message does is to diminish your power, your own claim to righteousness, so that only Christ remains. And that's how God takes the glory. It is not just by saying, I give him the glory. Some people will come. Then I gave. Then I prayed. Then I fasted. I give him the glory. Shut up. You've taken half of the glory already. I gave. I fasted. I did this. Then you see, I'm better than you. You don't know how to pray. I know how to pray. Look at things like this. I give him the glory. Because look at this one. He collected 70%. He tithed me the glory. They tell me, say, give me the glory. Give me a tithe of the glory. Let me not really forget my message entirely. What's the summary of the message? This is how God answers your prayers, brethren. He wants to confirm his word in your life. Don't walk up to him and say, I have done this. No. You walk up to him and say simply, this is what you said you would do, and you are a faithful God. Do it. This is what Jesus paid for. You are a faithful God. Do it. This is the grace that I found in Christ Jesus. You are a faithful God. Do it. I read in the scriptures that this is the inheritance of the saints of God. And I'm one of your saints. You're a faithful God. Do it. What have you done to deserve it? Nothing. But Jesus paid, so I don't have to do anything to deserve. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. It's like my son is going to school. It doesn't take money to pay fees. Are you getting what I'm saying? He just goes to school. Why? At the beginning of the term, his mother has gone to the bank and paid the fees. He has never earned a salary, has never contributed anything, but he goes to school. And someone says, you can't come, you can't pay. What do you mean? My daddy said he has paid. I don't know whether you're getting the point.
Yes.
Are you sure? Yes. That is, once daddy has paid, doesn't concern him whether he worked hard enough to merit coming to school. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying there. Yes, it doesn't concern him whether he worked hard enough. So you are not a hard-working student. Doesn't matter. My father has paid. My father has paid. If they're sharing out, let's say, uniform, he won't go and say, please, I was not able to come to help them clear the ground. Please, I'll try and clear the ground next term. Please, can I have the uniform? Is he going to say like that? But my wife will ask, where's your uniform? They haven't given you. No. When you get back to school, go and meet your auntie. Say, where's your uniform? You know, it's like, where is it? You know what they call boldness? It's, good afternoon, man. Yesterday, I didn't collect my uniform. Why? I went home on time. I'm sorry. Can I have it now? Do you get the point?
Yes.
Did he pay? No. But he's just somebody paid. You're getting the logic? That's how we approach God. What seed have you sown for this money you're asking God for? None. But give it to me all the same. From this breakthrough, what have you done for God? Say boldly, nothing. What are you going to do for God so that this breakthrough will come to your life this year? Say to the person, nothing. Nothing leaves God's hands until something leaves your own. It's a lie. Tell them, God's hands full. It's overflowing with abundance. Why is it full? Jesus has poured everything inside there. That's what's called righteousness. I've heard people say it before. Supply does not answer to prayer. It answers to seed. You know, sometimes when Christians talk, I actually want to check whether they are reading the Quran. No, I need to read the book. I need to know the book you are reading. Because every child can quote 20 scriptures in which people didn't sow nothing and they got plenty. And the people just be telling me, supply does not answer to seed.
to prayer, it answers to seed. I said, okay. If that statement is right, I have to know what seed is. Yes. And I finally found that in the Bible. The Bible said the seed is the word of God. So I have to agree with you. Supply does not answer to shouting. It answers to what? To seed. But the seed is the word of God. And what does that word say? What did that word say? The word said that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. So let me sow the seed so that supply can come. Therefore, I sowed the word. The seed is the word of God. When I demand things from God, what have you done for him? I say to them simply, nothing. What are you planning to do? Nothing. Why not? My father has paid. That's it. No, think about it. My son goes to school. And then he takes out of his transport money or lunch money and says, Auntie, please, this 100 naira, we'll share them. Here is a tithe to you. As a minister of this school, 10 naira. I sow this 10 naira as a dangerous seed. And this 10 naira as a vow. And this one is a covenant-breaking seed. And this one is the first fruit of my allowance. So the auntie said, for what? For my school uniform. What would the auntie do? He will wrap it back and say, it's not necessary. The receipt, we've checked it, everything has been paid. So just collect your uniform. Oh boy, hold your money. But if they were to come to school one day and say, please, we are going to motherless babies' homes. Does anybody have a gift? And he gives them the whole allowance for the day or for the week. You know it will be accepted. Oh, say, oh, he's such a good boy. Let me ask you a question. Would they give him anything in return? The only thing they are going to give him is because I shelled out the kuza and I put the osusu inside the bank for the school, according to Gordon's. the school, all this is good boyism. It's only okay when daddy and mommy shell the osusu into their bank account because the 100 naira you are dropping is nothing but filthy rags in the sight of your school fees. Yeah, you get my point. But once your school fees have been paid in full, then you donate 100 naira for something. They'll say, oh, such a good boy. Well mannered. He's well brought up. But you know, if I didn't pay that school fees, all your good boyism is like 50 rags in our sight. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? Yes. Listen, Jesus paid your fees.
Amen.
I said Jesus paid your fees.
Amen.
You don't go to your class teacher now to demand things based on your own good works. You demand them based on the fees that Jesus paid on your behalf. Anything you do now, you just add it. It does not guarantee you anything. Do you get my point?
Yes.
Let me say this as I close. Why Christians do good works is because they are good people. Did you hear what I said?
Yes,
Christians do good works because they are good people.
Amen.
They understand the word of God. They know that this gospel has to be paid for. And if they believe in that gospel, they will give towards it. It's not like, let me give so I can get. They say, even if I don't need anything, God's gospel must be preached. And if it is our money that will preach it, I will do my portion. If my neighbor is hungry, whether somebody promises me anything, it makes no difference. I cannot go to sleep knowing that somebody beside me cannot sleep for hunger's sake. Do you understand what I'm trying to explain? That's why we do good works. That's why we do good works. I was telling the other day, one of our sisters told a story. In fact, God has been mobilizing my brethren this year towards doing, I thought it's a year of fruitfulness. Fruitfulness is not only I will chop plenty. It is a time to show abundance. God has been stirring us up through different ways. One of our sisters told a testimony that moved me. I've known her, when did I get to know her now? Since 1987. When she entered the University of Benin, it was 2 years my junior. 87. I read the testimony last week. 87 to now, in 3 years, it will be 30 years, right? Yes, I've known her for almost 27 years. I read the testimony last week, and she said, if you had come to our area 38 years ago, it was 38 years, she said, or 35 years ago, you would have seen an 8-year-old girl wearing rags, hawking fruits or vegetables or something. And then she described how God used the generosity of people. First, UPN declared free education that helped her go to school. And then after that, God used the generosity of brethren to take her through secondary school, enter university. She said that the first time somebody celebrated her birthday was one day she went to school. She was just getting entry. And just told somebody, it's my birthday today. They just dragged her to hostel. These are my brethren, my fellowship. They didn't know her then. She was just about to come to school. Dragged her and quickly put a small party together and clapped for her. Said in all her life, she had never had a birthday party. And how God used the moved people to help her to go through school. Today, she's a consultant physician. When she was writing that mail, she was writing it from China. She has been to more than 10 countries in this world. When we read things like that, you know, something happened that will make you laugh. I finished my message, but let me know. I like to Jesus in a while. Somebody, one guy now said that, one of our brothers, he said, we're just talking about that the time has come for brethren to get up and do things, that schools are getting more expensive. And that I was telling you the other day on Saturday, that I paid 190 plus 36 naira was my annual money I used to give to University of Benin to go to school. 90 naira accommodation, 36 naira tuition. Is the money had more value then? Yes, but I paid 300 naira to eat in a month. That is half of feeding allowance for 1 month took me through school for a year. Let's make a long story short. People like us went to school free of charge. Those who went to school my time. But government can't afford it anymore. So my brother and I said, what are we going to do? We said, it's time to start helping other people go through what we enjoyed. And one brother said, yes, if you can raise a million naira. Me and my brother said, is this guy smoking? A million naira. My wife said, my husband said, we are raising 20 million. This guy said, 1 million. He said, 10 people can give. How many people? He said, 100 people give 10,000 naira. We laughed. I told one brother, I said, 1 million. I want to raise 1 million naira. I talked to 100 people. The other guy said, that's the whole local government. I said, I'm talking to 100 people. Lie. I need 20 million naira. That's how I'll be talking to 100 people. 20 million bucks. What do we want to do with it? My brother and I said, no. We have to start. Sit down and say, guys, it is time amongst yourself, check. Who is it that needs money to go to school? We set up a committee. They come. You interview them. You check things. At the end of the day, we pay your tuition, put your allowance every month for the next 12 months. Promise you that for 6 years if you're a medical student. What are you talking about? That's what God is blessing people for. What are we asking God to give to us? It hasn't crossed our minds. That's why I'm telling the story. It hasn't crossed our minds. All this I give, you give me back is poverty mentality. May God deliver you from it in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen, you are a prosperous person. Jesus died to make you prosper. Oh, do you think it's your kalokalo offering that's going to do it? Please, I ban you in Jesus' name from dropping any kalokalo offering in the Kingdom of the Ministries. Anything you give here, it must be because you say, this is truth, let's broadcast it. This is truth, let's continue preaching it. If you need anything, you ask God. Like Jabez, oh, that you will bless me indeed. Just add something to your own. For the sake of Jesus Christ, he has died, he has paid my fees. I need this, I need this, I need that. I receive it from your hand in the name of Jesus. Christians are good people. If Bill Gates can say he wants to give out all his money, how much more are you? Enough of Kalo Kalo gospel. God is tired of it. He said, I should come and tell you he's tired of it. He's going to begin to injure personal. Yes. He said, stop insulting me. I've tolerated this insult long enough. People will be telling me that I can't do anything except they do for me first. Which kind of insult is that? It's an insult. You don't realize it's an insult. You come to God. Say, you know this God, he will never do anything unless you do for him first. Say, it's a spiritual principle. Listen, that principle ended in Christ. That's why he ended. He said, he that has entered into the rest has ceased from his own works. Now what you do is to labor to remain in faith. Are you getting my point? You discover the word of God, hold on to it tenaciously. I won't let it go. And please, don't ask any questions like this from me again in your heart. Are you saying we don't have to give? Did I say so? I'm just saying if you are giving to get, you are wasting time. You give because you are blessed. You give because you love. You give because the Spirit of Christ is in you. I hope you've gotten my point this afternoon. Let's just give the Lord and say, Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. It sets me into freedom, sets me into liberty. Thank you because I have no other claim to righteousness apart from the blood of Jesus. Let's rise to our feet. Let's rise to our feet. Just declare, say, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you because I have no other claim to righteousness but the blood of Jesus. I have no other claim to righteousness but the blood of Jesus. You answer me because of the blood of Jesus. I am righteous because of the sacrifice of Jesus. All my needs are met because of Jesus Christ. Everything is supplied to me because of Jesus Christ. All things are washed away.
Everything
in me is new. Say, my sins have been washed away. Say, I'm a citizen of heaven because of Jesus Christ. Say, like you believe it, I am a citizen of heaven because of Jesus Christ. That's why I had to write that sermon. Who is going to hell? If you don't have it, you can just go to our website under the sermon section. You see it's near on top. Who is going to hell? You can download the PDF and forward it to everybody. Some people won't like it because they like to hold men in bondage. Let's just say that I went to heaven. I didn't see women. Why? Because women were perming their hair. So all these madmen on the road should go to heaven. Yes, now you don't see all the crazy men on the road. And then they command angels in heaven. Because they couldn't perm the hair. They didn't even wash it. Praise God. They are closer to the heart of God. All those Rasta reggae guys. Bob Marley is on the throne. Did he perm his hair? He did not perm his hair now. All the poor people in the deep interior villages that are murdering people, they should go to heaven. They didn't wear jewelry. People think that you enter into this heaven by your own works. No, you don't enter there by like that. Remember the joke? I read it. I even saw it online. One man got to the gates of heaven. The angel said, what have you done to enter in here? He said, listen, I'm a great giver. I tithed all my life, sowed first seeds, first fruit, vowed everything. He said, very good. You're a good man. You need 100 points. He said, yes. He said, all of that, what does it come to? They said, 1 point. The guy looked, said, how far? All right. Listen, I used to help the poor all around my neighborhood. Many children went to school because of me. They said, 1 point. So I was faithful to my wife all my life. Never even took a sneak preview at any other woman. He said, that's a good man. 2 points. After a while, the guy looked, calculate all his good works. Never even read 10 points. And I looked at the angel and said, now, wow, only the grace of God will let somebody enter here. They said, oh, yeah, you can come in. As long as I was counting all those things, the points were inching up bit by bit. After living a whole life of good works, and only 10 points. And they said, I needed 100. Listen, you have 10,000 in your favor in Jesus' name.
Amen.
By the power of the blood of Jesus, you have 10,000 points in your favor in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Say, Father, I thank you because I have all the points necessary. Because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Listen, brethren, that's why you live for him. That's why. We are not saying that you continue in sin because grace will not abound. No. If you are indeed a child of God, sin is not something you like. It's not something you want to participate in. I'm not looking for excuses to sin. Some people are looking for the excuse to be stingy. Like my wife was saying, that I think she doesn't like to discuss with people. Because some people, what they want to hear is that, I don't have to do it. Thank God. I can chop my money. You can chop your money. Like I told you, there are people that God said, I don't want you to give any offering for 6 months. He said, why? Because, listen, this guy is so dependent on his offering. Anytime he's coming to heaven to come and pray, we are tired. All the bongoro, bongoro we are hearing is his offerings. We know they hear the correct word here again. So, please, 6 months, get used to it and tell the angels, bless him in the 6 months so that he will lose faith in those his offerings. Then after that, he will learn to give like a true Christian. Lord will come asking those questions because they are not good in their hearts. Can you imagine me looking for an excuse not to buy clothes for my children? So is it true that even if I don't buy clothes for the children, they won't sack me at work? The devourer will not come to my office. No, think about it. Which is what Christians do. You say, you don't do this and so you will prosper. They say, good, we don't have to do it again. Why? Because they are wicked people. They never gave their lives to Christ. They never did. They just come to church on Sunday. Say it, I'm a giver.
I'm a giver.
Because I'm a child of God.
Generosity is part of me.
I am not afraid of tomorrow. Because my faith is in God.
I am not a worshiper of money.
Therefore, I am generous.
My faith is in God.
I am a giver.
I'm a cheerful giver.
I don't tie ropes to my offering.
I release them to God entirely.
Because I have the Spirit of Christ.
Let us worship
him. Let's say, Father, we thank you. Let us thank him. Let us thank him. Now, let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of the Lord Jesus, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessing. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness.
in the name of Jesus. Amen. Cheer up, brethren.